Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It's sunny and nice downtown Nashville. We are live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. You know what that means. It means the Predators have a home game. They are back out on the ice. They had a practice yesterday, and they'll have morning skate, and then they'll drop the puck tonight at 7 o'clock versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. 6 o'clock pregame, everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. They have three games remaining in the month of January. Tonight here against Toronto, and then Wednesday and Thursday, Washington and New Jersey. And that will do it for the fourth month of the season. And then they're going to go like gangbusters the rest of the way. They have played the fewest amount of games in the league, and there's a lot on the line. And we'll see how they respond to having over a week off in between games. And then they're going to hit the ice with their most compact schedule the rest of the way. February and March are their most loaded months of their entire season. They will play 29 games in those 2 months. And like I said, that is going to be their heavy load. And it just happens to be at the end of the regular season in their final 2 months. Chase, how's it going?
It's going. It's, you know, kind of a weird day, as I heard you on the morning show earlier talking about the tragedy with Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other victims of the helicopter crash. So it's one of those things that has kind of stayed with me since I got the news. It's been a very somber, you know, day now, I guess. But you know what? We're all in this together and hanging in there.
Certainly, it's one of those events where we all remember what we were doing when we heard the news. It's unfortunate, but it's just one of those deals because of the sports/global icon that Kobe Bryant was. He was more than just a fantastic basketball player. He meant a lot to a lot of people all over the world. And, it's one of those events that I'll always remember. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was on a Toronto radio station, 590, Sportsnet, and they were talking about tonight's game. And towards the end of the interview, they called me. I was on at 1:25, or closer to 1:30, and close to the end of the interview, about 1:45, my phone was blowing up. And I was a little embarrassed because I'm sure I was probably cutting out a little bit because I was getting so many text messages, and I had no idea why. And so I'm just plowing through, just trying not to miss a beat with my phone constantly beeping, and I'm thinking to myself, self, why is your phone going crazy at 1:45 in the afternoon on a Sunday? This is not normal behavior.
Right.
Okay. I mean, like going crazy. Every 3 to 5 seconds, a text is coming through. And I'm like, what? And I just, you know, from doing this for a long time, my initial reaction, unfortunately, is, uh-oh, something's happened. What's happened? And I had a sinking feeling wrapping up the interview, because I was dreading,
like, what,
looking
what
at my
I
phone.
At?
Like, yeah. What am I walking into the minute I hang up from this interview? Because I know something is going on. Is it something locally? Is it something nationally? Usually when it's blowing up like that, my first reaction was something's happened locally. Like, something has happened. What's happened? And so I hang up the phone, and, of course, this was at the very beginning stages. I think this was TMZ was reporting it. There were already people coming out kind of disputing or not confirming what TMZ was putting out there. So still very, very early on, but it did not take long before people were confirming the news was correct. And so it was just, you sat there in like disbelief of, wow, I can't believe that's really true.
And I got to say this, because look, we're in an industry, And Sean Henry of the Predators said this to me one time, that, you know, he doesn't envy us, because if you say one wrong thing, it can blow up in your face. And we're in an industry where, I mean, we put our reputations on the line anytime we crack open a microphone based on what we say. And now with Twitter and Instagram and social media and just everybody wanting that instant gratification, so many people in this business are trying to be first rather than trying to be right. And that really bugs me. And there was a lot of that going on yesterday, of trying to break the story and trying to get all the info. And there were some reports out there that initially that Kobe's entire family was on the helicopter, and that turned out to not be true. And just, it's like, for those listening that are in this business or want to get in this business, you know, use that as a lesson. You don't always have to be first, but make sure you're right. Make sure that you check your sources and triple check your sources, especially when you're talking about life and death, which is what this story is. And so that troubled me, you know, watching everything come through and what's true, what's not true. And, you know, I read this morning that, you know, LA police were upset with TMZ because they couldn't even inform the families before the news.
That's how the families found out.
Right. And that's awful. So,
well, I'm a little bit torn, because I know a lot of people are outraged with TMZ, because one, I will say it's a little different in what you're saying. I agree 100%. And if anybody doesn't agree with you, then they got problems.
Right.
You should never be rushing to try to break something, especially when it comes to something like this. And too many times that happens, where people put stuff out there because they know this is an opportunity to get a lot of attention if they're right. And so they're throwing stuff out there. So that, to me, goes without saying. But I'll say this. If TMZ's report was true, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it their responsibility to wait? I'm a little bit torn. I understand the gravity of the family had to find out through a news source or agency. I get that. And that is troubling. That's brutal to find out that way. It's going to be brutal no matter what. It's not like the police arriving at your home and knocking on the front door is any easier.
Right.
It's not. Okay? It sucks all around. There's no good way to inform a family, or families in this case, that they've lost their loved ones. There's no right or wrong. A phone call, showing up at the front door, or reading it online, it's all is in the category of sucks.
Yeah, it's just
but for
no
the
win.
People to be outraged, if TMZ had got it wrong, the outrage is warranted. The outrage should be there. They should get tons of grief.
And there were so many people hoping they got it wrong.
Sure.
That was my first tweet. I hope this isn't true.
Absolutely. But isn't it their job to report the news? And they got the news, unfortunately, and it was correct. Why is it wrong for them to put that out there? That's what they are. That's what they do.
Right.
They have a long history of this. I know exactly where I was when I got word that Michael Jackson was dead. And, oh, by the way, it was TMZ.
Right.
We were in Atlanta. At a Braves game, we were doing the show from the outfield at the old Turner Field.
Yeah.
And when we're like, what? And then remember, this is different time with social media. I mean, it was not where it is today.
It was my 22nd birthday.
It was a little bit. Was it?
Yep.
Wow.
He died on my birthday. Because Farrah Fawcett die? She died earlier in the day.
That's right. That's correct. And I remember, you know, that feeling of what?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson's dead? So we all remember, this is one of those same deal. I know exactly, we were doing a show at Turner Field in the outfield when that started getting out there, and it was TMZ. I'm just saying, I understand both sides. I'm not sure I can sit here and be phony and play with the masses and say, yeah, you should jump on TMZ. Why? They got it right. That's their job. It sucks. It stinks that the family had to find out that way, but I go back to what I just said. Like, there's a better solution? Like, any of them are good options? No, all the options are horrible. They're awful. So I can't really say that I'm ready to jump on board with everybody else that's been hammering TMZ and say you should have waited to the police. It's not their job to wait. If they get the news and it's correct, it's their job to report it.
I just think my big thing is make sure it's right. And TMZ was. I mean, TMZ had, you know, I'm not faulting them. They had it correct. But, you know, I was watching all the channels and there was an ABC report that the entire family was on board, which turned out to be wrong. And like that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. You know, make sure you know exactly who was on that helicopter before you're reporting. And, you know, I was watching ESPN. They were doing a great job with SportsCenter and having different people on to talk about Kobe. And they were one of the last to even report that Gianna, his 13-year-old daughter, was on because they were making sure they got it right.
Yeah.
And that I applaud them for that. I mean, get it right before you go out and report it. So
it's a totally different subject matter, in my opinion, if it's wrong. Totally different. But the fact is, it wasn't wrong. So I'm just not willing to condemn TMZ for putting out a story that stinks to hear, and it doesn't make anybody feel good. It's the worst feeling ever. But they were right with their info. So I'm not going to sit there and condemn them for that. That's their job. That's what they do. They've broken a lot of huge stories in this country.
Yeah.
Huge stories. And a lot of huge sports stories. Because, right, we used to laugh at TMZ. Oh, it was TMZ. I saw TMZ's putting that out there. Oh, well, let's wait. Right. It's TMZ. This is a sports story. Well, we stopped doing that a long time ago. But there was a time and a place when we used to hear first it was TMZ. We're like, oh, okay. Well, let's wait and have somebody else more credible. We don't say that anymore. That notion's been gone for a long time. All right, we will come back. Talking with TD, Teron Davenport is in the house here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We'll talk about his adventures down at the Senior Bowl and what he's been up to all last week as we are in Super Bowl week. It is the Monday before Super Bowl 54. The big media night is tonight. It's going to be down in Miami. And where are they? Where are they having? It's at the Marlins Park. It's at where the Marlins play.
Yeah.
So that's where they're going to have the big media night. Chiefs and 49ers. We'll talk with TD next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Coach Mason. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Willie Donick will join us in the next hour. Tonight it's the Predators and the Leafs here at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. And Teron Davenport has been nice enough to stop by. He joins us on Mondays. His adventures were down in Mobile. I wish you were down in Miami. I wish we were all down in Miami, but that is not the case. It'll be the Chiefs and the 49ers. But first, before we get into this football talk, you were here, and you're a huge sports fan and a basketball fan. What you know, we got to let you weigh in on the Kobe Bryant, the story that was yesterday.
It's funny. I was actually in church. We were voting. I'm apparently going to be a trustee in my church, and we were voting, and
well,
I got a notification that, you know, this had happened, and I just, it's crazy. I've always, like, been somebody, like, big positive vibes, you know what I mean? And you always try to find positive out of stuff. So I will say, if you go on social media, right, there's a lot of things on there that, you know, there's venom on there, but there's also a lot of positivity. I just urge everyone, as you're scrolling through the timeline, and I'm guilty of it, I found an article and I responded because it disgusted me. But I urge everyone to focus on the positive, right? And one of the things about Kobe, I never was around him personally. He was a guy, you know, in Philly, coming up Lower Merion High School. I know someone in Richard Hamilton who played against him. Kobe went to Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is where I lived, and he played on Ash Park, you know, which is a major park. I just feel like whenever you talk to people about Kobe Bryant, the thing that is focused on is the energy that he brought, right, and the way that he just pushed everyone to be their best. You know, so I think that's something that we need to focus on. Obviously, there were flaws. There were definitely flaws. We all have flaws, some greater than others, but I don't think it's in any of our place to judge that man. And especially 24 hours, less than 24 hours after he's passed. I think that's wrong as rain on a Saturday. So I want to get that out. Another thing, just thinking about, like, as a father, and, like, I'm tearing up now thinking about it because, I mean, I couldn't imagine what he was thinking.
Right. I know. I don't even I don't even want to go there because I'm like you.
Exactly.
As a father,
it's a shame, man.
Like you can't even can't even go down that road because it's too much to think about.
Exactly.
It's
overwhelming.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. That's
overwhelming.
A good word. That's a good word.
So, but you know, it's all about positivity, you know, let's push forward and you just got to cherish moments that you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Damn you, Teron. Why did you go down that path, man?
I couldn't help it, man.
Now you've stuck that in my head. That's right. Now it's hard. That's a good word. It is overwhelming to think anybody who's a parent out there. And by the way, you know, there were others on board too. And so they had to.
Exactly. Other fathers. Other, a mother. You know, 13-year-old. I have a 13-year-old. That hurts, man.
Yeah.
No one, you know. So I can't imagine what those parents thought about at those moments. Hopefully it was quick and sudden so that way there wasn't too much time. But, man, God bless their families. Hopefully, you know, they were right with God and they're in a better place. You know what I mean?
I've got to meet a lot of cool people doing this job for a long time. I've been very blessed and very lucky. I never got a chance to meet Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And I wish I would have. I would have really enjoyed
that. I never
got
to see him play.
I have. And that is the one thing that I am so thankful today that I actually got to see. In fact, my wife, who I've been with 14 and a half years, early on, when we first started dating, pretty early on in our relationship, we went to Washington for a trip. It was kind of, I think it may have been our first ever trip together. And I'm trying to think. How long have they been the Wizards? They would have been the Wizards by then.
They weren't the
Bullets. Yeah, they weren't the Bullets. They were the Wizards. It was probably still
only
pretty early
old
on.
Only heads know about that, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah, they were not the Bullets. I don't know why I'm aging her. She's much younger than me. They were the Wizards. But this was.
They became the Wizards in 97.
Okay, yeah, it was definitely the Wizards. This was more than a decade ago. This was probably 13, 14 years ago. And we saw the Wizards and the Lakers, and we had great seats, and it was packed. And it was packed for a reason, as you know. The Lakers were in town.
Of course.
Kobe Bryant was in town. And it was an awesome, awesome atmosphere. And we got to watch Kobe Bryant play. And I've actually seen him a couple times.
Nice.
And so today I would have had even more regret. It's one thing that I didn't get to meet him. I've always appreciated it. Look, I will always say this, and I don't believe it'll ever change. I believe Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James are going to go down as the three greatest basketball players through my eyes, in my lifetime. Like, I don't believe that somebody down the road, and we've got some great players today, they'll ever overtake them in my mind, in my eyes, because I saw all them play in person. I've seen them all in person, and I watched their entire careers.
Yeah, and it's a blessing to have been able to see all three of them. You know, I saw Mike in person. I saw Kobe in person. I was all the way up at Wells Fargo, you know, to see Kobe. I saw LeBron, too. So, yeah, you're right. It's a blessing to see that talent, you know what I mean, to be able to appreciate that in person.
Very few people, Teron, are wired like Kobe Bryant. We wish all of our favorite athletes on our favorite teams were all wired like Kobe Bryant. And actually, those guys that were Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant especially were wired. I think LeBron has turned into that later.
Yeah, he got it later. I don't think
he had it early on. Yeah. I think it definitely was not there. Where Kobe and Michael always had it. That's what they were. But we want our star players. We want our favorite athletes on our favorite teams to play and have that. We never questioned
that
what they brought to the table night in and night out. We never said, where was Kobe tonight? You know, it just seemed like he wasn't interested. You never said. You may have said that about the Lakers. Like, well, man, that was an off night for them. But you never said that about him. And same with Michael. I wish more people were wired like that, but man, you are a special individual to be, you know, to come with that mentality every night.
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback off of something both of you guys said last segment, I think TMZ did their job, right? Was it insensitive? Yes, but that's what they're known for, right? Right. That's what they're known for. They did their job. The person that really needs to be examined and needs to, you know, that was in the wrong was the one that revealed the information.
They got it from somewhere.
That's exactly.
Where'd they get it from?
Scrutinize them. That's the person who was wrong.
We'll never know, but.
Right. But
scrutinize that person because they got it from somewhere. They got it right because they got it from somewhere.
Exactly.
They probably paid them. Doesn't matter how they got it.
Exactly.
They got it from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it was probably a manifest or something, you know, but, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know. What can you say? You know what I mean? It's very, very unfortunate. It's tragic. And
yeah. And we're in for, I mean, tomorrow night, Lakers Clippers.
Boy, imagine that.
I mean,
imagine that.
I know.
And kudos to the it's so eerie how things work out, but do a 24-second violation, an 8-second violation.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a lot of tributes.
Cool.
We'll actually have Eric Castletine, Grizzlies play-by-play man, on later in the show. The Grizzlies played at FedEx Forum last night against the Suns, and there was a tribute as well. So we'll get into all that. And Eric Castletine has been on the mic for the Grizzlies for a long time. So he called a lot of games against Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. So I'll be looking forward to that conversation coming up at 1 o'clock. So if you had to – one, let's see, before I make it Titans-related, if you watch a lot of film on a lot of guys, can you tell what we're talking about, his makeup? You know, D-Mace, when he's on the show, and if you listen to D-Mace, he'll talk the word dog, D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
Can you tell a guy has dog in him on film?
We've had this conversation, haven't we?
You could definitely tell.
You can definitely tell.
You could 100%
okay,
tell.
So when you look at the Titans roster currently, who fits that bill in your mind? And I'm putting you on the spot. I'm not trying to say the other people don't. But who stands out to you that you think has that killer instinct that we're talking about, the one that brings it every Sunday or every game whenever they're playing?
A.J. Brown.
Yep.
Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Defensively, Logan Ryan, Kenny Vaccaro, Byard.
Yep.
Those
are the big ones.
Casey, you have to mention Casey. Rashawn Evans. Jayon got dog in him, man. It doesn't really, like, it doesn't manifest itself as much, but he has it in him. Those guys pop out first. I mean, Derrick Henry, once he had that talk with Eddie George, man, like.
It's crazy. Everything changed.
Man, he has it in him. He has it. So those are the guys that pop out. Arthur Smith, too.
Yeah.
That play action touchdown pass after that fourth and one stop. That's dog, right? And that's stepping on the neck, and that's doing what you have to do. So I would say Arthur Smith. Vrabel, too, you know. I definitely think Vrabel has it.
No doubt. He is wired differently, for sure.
I think my favorite saying that you have to describe this is, like, Cleef Raymond, for instance.
Oh,
the guy
that you
see his ribs because he's that hungry.
Got the ribs showing, man. Yeah, playing with hunger.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is the definition of somebody that has dog in him.
But I will say this, and I'm not saying this about Raymond. I'm saying I've seen this out of athletes in my career. It's a lot easier when you're fighting for your career life or your professional life.
Yeah.
But what I want to see are the guys when they get paid, when they get the security, when life is great. And they don't have that same fight because they're secure.
Right.
Then I want to see – because that's when – it didn't matter how much Kobe made or Michael made, or we can go down the list. There's those people that are – those guys that are wired like that, it does not matter how good their life is. They are coming to that game like it's Yeah. Like, they're still fighting for a roster spot.
And the thing that's so interesting is it didn't – like, for Kobe, it didn't matter how great he was, right? He was clearly the best scorer in the game at that point. I think it was 2007 when he went to Gary Payton, and he asked him about being a better defender, right? Rex Chapman has a post on Twitter. One time, Rex Chapman, he was a sniper as far as shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He caught fire, and he was on the foul line, and Kobe asked him what was it that allowed him to be such a great shooter. Those are the things, like you said, even once you're great, still wanting to ascend to more greatness, I think that's what you call having the dog in you. That's what you call having that unquenchable thirst to be better, to be the best.
So what's interesting with that list, because Chase knows this, I say this all the time, don't tell me how the restaurant's doing the first 6 months.
Don't tell me how the restaurant's doing the first year.
Like, tell me how it is 2 years from now
when they open their doors.
When they open the doors, everything's new. Everybody should go. You should be crowded. Everybody wants to check it out. Are they coming back?
Mm-hmm.
So Derrick Henry. He goes, right. So some of these guys are getting ready to get paid.
Yeah.
Now I want to know. That's what I always look for. Okay, they got it in them. Now I want to see when life is good and they're no longer, you know, you don't have the doubters. Like Derrick Henry had doubt, right? Most of the time they're battling also with people doubting them and saying, I don't know if this guy's really that good. So they have that motivation. But once you get rewarded and once everybody kind of changes the narrative on you and everything's good, like, everybody's patting you on the back, then how do you respond?
Do you still show up?
So I want to know if some of these guys that you threw out there, because I agree with that list, but when they get paid, because Rashawn Evans is going to get his day, he's going to get paid. And I want to know, like, Byard has already been paid, and I think he looked the same. So I want to know how they're going to look.
Has been paid.
Yeah. And he looked the same.
He actually looked better.
I agree.
That's the thing.
I would agree with that.
Why I say, oh, man, when I say Kenny.
I think another name that probably should be on this list, and I can't speak on what it was like before this year, but is Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it.
You got to put Ryan Tannehill on that list, and he's in a different category because this is a guy that got humbled. This is a guy that lost his spot and basically got told, you know what, we don't want you anymore. We're going to pay somebody, or we're going to pay so you can leave. Like, we want you out of here. And look what he did.
But he is trying to prove himself. So now he's going to get paid this offseason.
Right.
So let's see how he follows it up. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Now, the let's see part is a really good question. And that's why I think what Byard and Vaccaro have done is so remarkable. What I think Derrick Henry will do is remarkable also. Because I still think that even after getting the money, now I feel like his focus is going to shift from, okay, I got it. Let me prove why I got it. Because everyone's saying don't pay a running back. Let me show them why they should pay a running. You know what I mean? So I think that's what's going to drive him.
All right, we'll come back. More with Teron Davenport. His podcast is Talking with TD. Also, Teron and Chase on Friday nights from 6 to 8 here on 102.5 The Game. And, of course, his work, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans on ESPN and ESPN.com. More with TD on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day and you had a good weekend, minus kind of what we've been talking about, the sad and tragic news of the helicopter crash in, I guess, northern L.A., is that right? That area, I'm not sure. I've been to Southern California many times. I'm not sure exactly. I think it's north of Los Angeles. But anyway, Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, and seven others on board all perished in the crash. And just an awful, awful story. We'll have Eric Castletine on at 1 o'clock, who is the Grizzlies play-by-play man. They did a tribute for him last night. There were a lot of tributes around the league. And I thought it was said best. ESPN's done a good job of covering this. I found myself, Jason and I were texting. I sat there for hours just watching coverage.
That's all I did yesterday.
I know. I just stopped. Yeah. Everything halted, and I just watched. And, of course, they've got a lot of former NBA players on their staff, and they just had great stories. And a lot of people that were kind of outraged the league played last night, there was a lot of people going, you know what, I knew Kobe. and Kobe would have wanted them to play.
Exactly.
And so that's good enough for me. If those people know him and the way we've been talking about his makeup, I wasn't surprised to hear that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't surprised to hear that either. And that was just kind of something to make you say, well, you know what? Let him do it. You know, go ahead and play. That's what he would have wanted.
I know we talked to you a little bit on Friday. What stood out now that you're back, because you came back Friday night, what stood out to you down in Mobile?
There are an assortment of things that stood out. I think you saw one of the guys that stood out to me during the week. You saw him in the game, and that's Bradley Anae. And, wow. He showed the full arsenal of pass moves, right, rushing moves. He showed the hands, combining the chop. The two-hand chop, which is something that Shane Bowen teaches the Titans outside linebackers. That was his first sack. Then an up and under combined with a chop and a swim move. That dude is a legit pass rusher. He's a high-motor guy. He told me, you know, Max Crosby, Ryan Kerrigan, these are guys that he's patterned his game after. He did say the Titans met with him, so I think that's a good thing. He stands out to me. During the week, I was really impressed with Van Jefferson, the footwork that he presents, the way he was able to – he does a marvelous job of selling the go route. And then you just see him snap back and come back to the ball. Sometimes, you know, a curl, sometimes a comeback. DBs couldn't – they could not do anything with him. So he was fun to watch.
I knew you'd like him. And yeah. I didn't even bring – I mean, everybody knows Van Jefferson. I mean, he's had a very good collegiate career.
Right.
But – covering him on Friday nights and seeing, you know, film when he was in high school and obviously who his father is. And I just had in the back of my mind, Toronto probably noticed him.
Yeah, and it's just being there in person and watching the route unfold right in front of you is just so much different than watching it on TV. You get a different respect for someone's route running abilities. That stood out to me.
Let's before you move on to somebody else, let me bring up something that Chase just alluded to. His father.
Yeah.
And I want to know how much stock and do you think general managers or front offices put into a kid who grew up around the game or grew up around the locker room? Like, for example, Patrick Mahomes, while his dad played another sport, he grew up around professional sports. He grew up around clubhouses or locker rooms. And obviously, when you have a father who plays professional sports, you get a little bit different teaching mentality at home.
Yeah.
Than most. Do you put any stock as in that helps somebody that you would maybe give them an extra check mark if their parent played professional sports?
I wouldn't give someone an extra check mark unless it showed to me. So, like in this case, Van Jefferson, his father was an NFL receiver, actually a very,
very good one, yes.
Route runner.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, well, it's pretty obvious that He took from that. Okay, check mark there. You know what I mean? That's how I would do that. Or Mahomes. You see this guy, never any side nonsense with him, right? Well, his dad was that way. So it's like, okay, I could see how the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. But I'm not just going to blindly go in and say, hey, you know what? He's the son of a major league pitcher. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because of that.
Because they kind of have that extra coach at home.
They do.
Yeah.
You know, and you could tell that.
It could be a life coach, like you said, with Mahomes. It could be more.
Right.
Maybe more about how you carry yourself than on the field stuff.
Exactly. I think, you know, getting back to Kobe, that's what you saw with him. I mean, the kid was 15 years old.
Right.
Playing in a gym against NBA players. You know what I mean? So he was always prepared to handle that success that he had. But as far as the guys that have that, I think it's something that they have to prove that it's an attribute. You know what I mean? It's like a fast guy. Yeah, I mean, a guy could be a 10-2 in on the track, but if you can't run 10-2 and break it down and move laterally and then restart, I don't care about your 10-2, you know, and it's just the same.
I wonder, and I know he was just a freshman, I wonder how we'll feel and if this will apply to Randy Moss's kid when he's ready to enter the NFL draft.
Speaking of LSU tight ends, I have to pull out my sheet because I forget the guy's name. He wore number 83 down there in Mobile, but LSU had a tight end there that was actually pretty impressive. He only had 12 catches in his college career, but he was definitely impressive as far as running routes. He and Jalen Hurts connected a few times. I'm trying to find the guy's name. What's your name, boss? Steven Sullivan, 6'5", 242. From what I remember, he was a former receiver, put on about 30 to 40 pounds once he got to LSU, was kind of stuck behind Thaddeus Moss, didn't really get to shine that much, but he shined in Mobile.
I think what's so interesting, too, about, you know, the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game, all these college all-star games, is you have stories like that of guys that didn't pop at college because there was somebody ahead of them or whatever, but then they get noticed, you know, in these all-star games, and that's their shot, or then the combine.
Yep.
You know, and that's their shot to the league.
And they go down there and show and prove. A couple guys to also keep.
You can't learn everything from a game. Sometimes you got to watch practice. Sometimes you got to see the individual work.
Practice is what builds you into the game.
Right.
Like, the game is the reward for practice, frankly. That's how I look at it. Auburn defensive lineman Marlon Davidson, he hurt his foot. That first Tuesday, it's pretty impressive. I think he's someone that could be on the Titans' radar. Trying to think of some.
They're
going to
be
guys
in the market for a running back, like a complimentary running back for Derrick Henry. Anybody stand out to you?
Disappointing, man.
Really?
I wanted – No. I'm talking about this particular guy, Keyshawn Vaughn. Hmm. I really wanted to see him down. I talked to him Tuesday and Wednesday. I didn't see him on Thursday. But he is someone I wanted to see. He practiced the first day, but after that, he said he wasn't going to go. He was working through something. I don't know what it was. UCLA had a running back,
that's a concern with him.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Unfortunately, that's going to be one of the knocks, is that can he stay healthy during the course of an NFL season?
And that's a problem. UCLA had a running back. He actually shined all week in practice, and he shined in the game. I'm just trying to remember his name. See, I'm always – like, I remember jersey numbers.
Yeah.
I don't remember names as much. He wore number 2. I know that. My guy Emory Hunt was pretty big on him, and he told me to watch out for him, and I did, and he definitely – Josh Kelly, that's his name, 5'11", 219. He is really sudden with his cuts. He gets upfield in a hurry. He's the guy – he fought through injury junior year, but last year he had a pretty solid year. So that's another one. There were a few running backs down there. Memphis had a running back that was pretty good. TCU, they had a guy as well.
Yeah, I think that this is – I like this draft. I really like this draft for needs and whatever the needs are. You know, we know the Titans need pass rush. I think we've all agreed that they should sign somebody in free agency and draft someone to try and build some depth on the pass rush. You know, backup running back Darren, like you brought up, somebody that can take some carries away from Derrick Henry and can also be, you know, versatile out of the backfield, can catch the ball, can replace Deion Lewis.
Enu Benjamin is a good guy for that, out of Arizona State.
Yeah.
He's, almost 2,000 multi-purpose yards. So there are an abundance of backs. There's abundance of receivers. Pass rush is deep. Alton Robinson from Syracuse. So they're in a good situation, the Titans are, as far as what they need and prospects.
We'll come back and close out the first hour with Teron and ask him where he thinks Mike Vrabel is going to turn to hire some new members on his staff. He's got some big decisions to make. That's going to be first and foremost before the combine, before free agency, before the draft. We'll find out his thoughts on that on the other side. Right now I want to talk about the folks at USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That is more than will be at the game. Tonight's game is sold out, and 18,000 is more than what will be here at Bridgestone Arena tonight. That's a lot of satisfied homeowners. And if you've been outside looking at your house, maybe you've been piddling around the yard or what have you, you've noticed maybe some bricks are cracking, or you've got walls that are bowing, or doors or windows that may be sticking, drywall that's separating, maybe a chimney that's tilting or leaning, stair step cracks in masonry, mortar joints. All these are signs that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. Maybe you need to have the experts out to take a look at this. They can also put you at ease and tell you nothing to worry about, or if there is something that needs to be addressed, at least the experts can tell you what needs to be addressed and how they're going to go about it. They're all about their quality of work. They're all about their reputation. They're all about integrity of their work, and that should be something that's important to you as a homeowner. Plus, if you get them out there, they'll give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, licensed, and insured. 615-227-2275. That is the number to get the fine folks at USS out to your house. Once again, that's 227-2275. You can also go to their website and learn everything about them by going to usstn.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS. We're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We're staring at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight it's the Predators and Toronto. The Maple Leafs are in town. Both teams coming off their bye week, and so they'll hit the ice tonight. Predators here tonight, Wednesday night in Washington, Thursday night in New Jersey to take on the Devils, and that will close out the fourth month of the regular season. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside Teron Davenport on site with us as well. Willie D will join us a little bit later on in the second hour of the program. So Mike Vrabel learns that he's got two staff members gone, two important staff members on defense. Dean Pease is retired. Yeah. Kerry, is it Coombs or Combs? I've heard
Coombs. Coombs.
Because that's what I call him, Coombs. But I hear people call him Combs, and I'm like, isn't it Coombs?
Coombs.
That's what I thought.
Coach Coombs.
So he's going back to Ohio State to be the defensive coordinator. So two important hires. Where do you think Mike Vrabel is looking? Because these are obviously important positions moving forward.
I think, you know, seeing the work that Shane Bowen has done with the outside linebackers as far as technique and having that transfer to games is definitely something that should be noted. I just don't know that he has the experience to step in, but I think that he's someone that will be in the mix.
For DC,
I think you have to mention Coach Tyrone McKenzie as well, because you look at what he's done. Even Terrell Williams. I mean, there are multiple in-house candidates. I think he goes the veteran route, though. I think Romeo Crennel is a guy that could come in here and be that sounding board for him, could come in here and offer continuity as far as what they need on the defense, a 3-4 concentration. I think that would be a good pick for the D.C. A couple other names to consider, you know, James Betcher from the Giants, right, and previously Arizona. And I think that's kind of a package deal. I think if he comes, Marcus Golden would be a free agent primary target. 10 sacks under Betcher in New York, 12.5 under him in Arizona. Then he had the injury-plagued year in between them. I think you also have to consider Wade Phillips. At the very least, you have to consider it, right?
Because he's got to be on the list, right?
Exactly. He has to be on the list.
Are you guys – I'll ask both of you this, because we've had this conversation, Darren, a lot, and Teron's been a part of it, of that there are times where maybe Mike Vrabel needs that advisor or that somebody that's been in the same position. The whole former head coach thing, and you can discuss Wade Phillips head coaching – you know, and how successful he's been all you want. But the fact of the matter is he's gotten several bites at the apple of being a head coach in this league. That does appeal to me a little bit.
Yeah.
More than and Romeo Crennel has been a head coach too, but I think Wade Phillips definitely has more on his resume than Romeo Crennel does.
Well, I wouldn't even get into comparing the two of them. I'll put them in the same category as veteran people. And one thing that I've encountered in my life is there's never a bad time to have wisdom or experience.
So well, either it's one worked of them here the last two hires. I mean, Dick LeBeau and Dean Pease. It has been fantastic to see, like you said, wisdom. I mean, that's 100 years of football right there.
Exactly.
And it's worked. That's another thing. It's worked. It's not worked. Like they were just older guys, seasoned guys, Hall of Famers, and it didn't work. They were at the end. No, it worked. So, to me, I would think you'd want to stay with that theme.
Yeah, and this is a group of veteran guys that are being taken over, right? So you have to – it's tough to have a first-time guy come in and really make everyone else understand that his calls are correct. And here's the thing. you're never going to execute. Just like selling something, right? You're never going to be able – I can't sell this can right here unless I drank it before and can vouch for it, right? So it's just the same as a player. It's hard for him to execute the game plan to the fullest if he doesn't trust it. But that's the thing that you had in Dick LeBeau. That's the thing you had in Dean Pease. So that's something that's going to be key. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the DB coach position also. And I feel strongly that Scott Booker should be the first option to take over. I strongly feel that way just because he already has the rapport with the guys there. Oh, and by the way, he works with the special teams group as well. So, you know, he has an expanded role as an assistant DB coach, you know, under Coach Coombs. But I think really it's going to come down to his ability to work with the corners because he works primarily with the safeties. Coach Coombs worked primarily with the corners at Ohio State, and the same was here. A name that you probably should think about is Chris Richard, right, as a guy to come in and be the DB coach, and if Coach Booker remains the assistant. I tell you another name, too, that I think should be considered for the assistant DB position, none other than the mayor of Murfreesboro's coach, Steve Ellis. He was the DB coach at MTSU. He coached, you know, Ward. He coached Byard. And there's another, Richie James, I think it was. He coached these three guys. So I think, you know, he's a guy that could come in and offer some type of help, too, as an assistant to Scott Booker.
How long do you think it's going to be before he makes a decision? How long will this go on, you think?
That's a good question. I would say, if I had to guess, I would say 2-3 weeks.
Is it imperative to have them in place before Indianapolis?
That's where I was going. I would imagine they would have them in place.
I would think so, too. But
because you want to know, okay, obviously Vrabel's going to be the cutting board for the defense. But if you're going to have somebody that's a DC, you want to know, okay, you know, Wade Phillips, these are your type of guys, right? The DeMarcus Wares, those types. You know, Romeo, these are your type of guys, right? New guy, what is it that is your type of guy? You always want to bring in the players who have the characteristics of the guy calling the shots.
So you think before Indianapolis would be a good marker. So we'll know sometime in February, first couple weeks of February.
Yeah. I could see it just after the Super Bowl. Because, I mean, typically you want to your point, you want to get this done. I mean, before you go to Indianapolis and you start the – I know they've already started the free agent evaluation, draft evaluation, but I think sooner rather than later you want somebody in there.
Yeah, I would imagine that. Down in Mobile, it's funny, like I felt like I was lonely, man. I didn't have any fellow Titans reporters down there, but even, you know, Coach Vrabel wasn't there. John Robinson was there for a bit. I ran into Coach Ty McKenzie. Matt Miller, one of their advanced scouts, was there too. So definitely shout out to them for still, you know, turning things around a week later, days later, and going down there and flipping the stones, you know, to leave none uncovered.
It's what it takes at this level. All right, that will do it for hour number one. We'll come back more with Teron to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.